Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So who would have thought, what is it, 2-3 years later, we'd be back? I know we had the welcome back episode like a month or so ago, but still, it just kind of blows my mind. Like, for years, there have been rumors about King of the Hill coming back. Pretty much, like, as soon as it went off the air, there were rumors of, like, maybe Cartoon Network buying the rights or something like that. But here we are, 15 years later, King of the Hill is back.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm super excited. The buildup has been a lot, though. I feel like just since the announcement and kind of things trickling here and there. And I'm just getting back from San Diego, so I just am coming back from Comic-Con, where there was a lot of King of the Hill. Not a lot, but there was some King of the Hill stuff there. I'm nervous about the future of King of the Hill.
Yeah, I was nervous going in a little bit because I didn't know what would happen. Like, so many revivals have... There have been good revivals here and there, but then there's been some that are just awful. Like, I know in my previous episode I talked about how much I didn't care for the Futurama revival on Hulu, and that made me worried about King of the Hill, but I think this one is doing all right.
I mean, I have opinions about... I've only seen the first episode, so we're just starting, guys, and both Jason and I have decided that we are going to watch along. So we're not any ahead of what we're speaking. Like, we haven't even finished the season. Neither of us are on episode 2. So we're watching along just like as if we were with you guys. So I don't know anything else, but to say I'm not nervous for what's to come would be a truthful statement. I don't know. I don't think it's an understatement, but I'm excited, nervous. I don't know. I'm ready for it.
But did you actually get to do the King of the Hill experience? I was looking on the King of the Hill subreddit and saw a bunch of people posting pictures, and some of the food actually looked pretty good.
Okay. So, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't like talking bad about an activation that I get invited. So, I'm lucky enough that I'm able to help my friend do press for Comic-Con. I don't know if my friend Karma, I think you met her. Yeah. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to tag along with her. So we're able to get in earlier and do things a little faster. I would say that this activity was a little low on my list. I had a lot of fun though. The food was really good. It was very tiny, but it was very good. Like, it was, like a little piece of like rib meat, some coleslaw. Something else was in there too. Some macaroni and cheese. It was really good. My complaint was we did get Alamo cans, but they were filled with water because they can't give us alcohol, I guess.
Okay. That was going to be my next question. Like, could it just be that maybe there was some legal thing preventing them from giving away alcohol?
I think yes, because it wasn't at a bar. Because I've been to some of these they call them activations. But I've been to some of these activations where they do give you alcohol, but those are at bars. Like, they team up with a bar, and so they. I guess maybe you need a license for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that is how it works, and they just couldn't get it, or they didn't have enough time, or they didn't want to pay for it, or something.
The can was cool. It was just like it is like holding an Alamo beer can, but when you opened it, it was full of water. The water did not taste good. I think something about canned water I don't know, it tasted like tap water that was canned, so I don't know. It was weird. It didn't, and it wasn't even that cold. I don't know. It was, the thing was fun. I got to, they had a little cutout for Dale's dead bug, so you could act like you're driving the thing, and I got to act like I'm driving a mower. I really wish, now that I've seen the first episode, I really wish they would have like done things for this new season. Like if we could have had Bobby's restaurant. Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead. But things for this new season, I wish would have been a part of this. It was fun. I think you would enjoy taking the pictures. I took a couple of pictures. I think that's what you would enjoy too. I wish there was more. So it was a little let down in that area, but still a lot of fun.
I heard they didn't grill with propane.
No, because of, I guess, fire laws or something like that. They couldn't have propane tanks out there. So, yeah. It was just, I don't know.
It's like you have a King of the Hill activation. You're doing barbecue. It's like you had one job, and that was to have propane grills. And what do they do, charcoal?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know. Yeah, probably just charcoal. Man, there's so many things I wish would have happened. Like, normally at Comic-Con, Hulu brings all their shows, like American Dad, Family Guy, Futurama, and they do one big thing for all the shows. I wish they would have done that and added King of the Hill, and then they would have taken over a restaurant and turned it into, like, Sugarfoot or something like that. And you could have gone into a real restaurant.
That would have been absolutely awesome. I wish they would have done that, too.
Like, there are so many... You've been to Comic-Con. When you go there, Comic-Con basically takes over the whole city. Like, the whole downtown area. Comic-Con takes over. So, restaurants love partnering up with stuff. So, I think if they wanted to, they could have. It would have been great to walk into a restaurant from King of the Hill. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what restaurant... Now I can't remember any other than Sugarfoot. What was the restaurant that Bobby ate at? Yes.
Oh, the Showbiz Diner, the one where he got gout?
Yes. Is that the one where he got gout? That's a different episode. But that's a different episode than the one where he dates the vegetarian girl. And then he eats
Was it Rattlesnakes or something like that? Where he eats the... he eats the big steak?
Yeah, he's like, I want the biggest steak.
Yeah, I remember that one. Arlen Barn. I wish it were real because I kind of want to try the meatloaf sandwich.
From Arlen Barn?
Yep. Oh, speaking about the Alamo beer, so I'm going to go ahead and say we manifested it because we talked about it on the podcast. And then like a week later, they announced it. So the Alamo Beer Company in San Antonio, Texas, did a collaboration with Hulu. And they released Alamo beer that looks like the can looks like the Alamo beer from the TV show. And like they're selling it at HEB, which to the non-Texans who listen to us, there are those of you out there. HEB is like the best grocery store in the world. It is a Texas staple. I was looking on Reddit. All these people were talking about, oh, I went to the HEB in Dripping Springs and look at what I got.
Wait, they got the can?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't been down the beer aisle in a while. I wonder if is it just a limited time or is it like...
I think it is a limited edition. I don't know when it runs out. Like, I don't know if they just made one batch and that's it or if it's going to go until like mid-September or whatever. I imagine it'll probably be around for a few more weeks.
Yeah, I wonder how many... Well, I will... Tomorrow I'll go to HEB. I'll see if I can grab one. Can I mail beer? Can you mail beer?
I mean, technically you could.
Maybe I can. I got something for you. I've already showed you that I got something for you at Comic-Con. So maybe if I can find a beer, I'll have to figure out how you mail it. I guess you just wrap it up, right? And it's just a can of beer.
Yeah, there you go.
And it doesn't have to be refrigerated, right? Beer doesn't have to be refrigerated.
No, if you buy... My understanding is if it is already refrigerated and then, like, you let it get to room temperature, it skunks the beer. But if, like, the beer is already room temperature, you can, you know, it could sit room temperature until, you need to chill it. Unless you just like drinking warm beer, I guess.
Okay, I'm going to try to find some room temp ones. Let me see if I can mail you a couple. Okay. Maybe we could try it together.
That would be fun. Yeah. Oh, and I just read today, apparently the Hulu has teamed up with Whataburger in September. And for the month of September, they have some kind of special double meat King of the Hill deal. Let's see, September 8th through the 12th, they have that. And I miss Whataburger, but Whataburger is now owned by some private equity firm out of Chicago. And it seems everybody that I see online talks about how bad Whataburger has become since the acquisition.
I mean, I don't think I taste anything. I don't have Whataburger, though, that often. Well, I have to go now to try this sandwich.
Yeah. I think I've only, since moving to California, I think I've only had it like 3 times, maybe.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't. See, that's always a weird thing. I never crave the Texas style. I don't know. I don't really miss Whataburger, though. But I don't know. Way controversial. Well, what is your thoughts on In-N-Out? I know you're not a Californian.
I think it is overrated. I do not understand the hype.
So I'm on the same boat. I am from California. But here's my theory on it. Sorry, guys. A little tangent, I guess, as always. But here's my thought on In-N-Out. Is that it used to be nostalgic for people from California. Like, we used to be like, oh, you can only get In-N-Out when you're there. But now it's everywhere. So I think it's lost its magic.
Okay, yeah, maybe it has. I don't know. I remember when it first came to Austin, was it like 2013, 2014, and everybody was oh my God, In-N-Out. There was like lines out the, you know, a line at the drive-thru that was like 2 hours long and stuff. And then I tried and I'm like, it's fine. I don't get the...
It's a lot of onions. Is that where you're like, it's a lot of onions?
No, it's just like, it's fine. It's like, you know, whatever. I don't get why people are sitting in line for 2 hours for it, but okay.
Yeah, it's not worth 2 hours. It's kind of just a mid-burger.
Yeah, it is a mid-burger. Well, let's talk about something that I guess isn't mid, hopefully. And let's talk about the Season 14, Episode 1, Return of the King. It starts... Interesting choice on how they chose to start the episode, because it starts in the airplane bathroom and Hank is like struggling to pee. Like, you even hear like the, you know, the pee hitting the toilet bowl or whatever, but it's coming out in like little spurts, and it's, you know, due to his narrow urethra. And we see outside and there's like a line of 6 or 7 people waiting to get in the bathroom, and somebody comments, oh, you know, he's been in there since we entered U.S. airspace. And I actually, in my nerdy way, I was curious, wait, so did they fly directly from Riyadh to America? And I had to look up flight paths. And the best I could come up with is that with British Airways, you can fly from Riyadh to London Heathrow to Dallas Fort Worth. And then, so that means he flew from London Heathrow to Dallas Fort Worth. So when they entered U.S. airspace, he's been in the bathroom for at least 2 hours now. I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me, but okay. I had to just hang on to that. But then, you know, Peggy being Peggy is just kind of spilling all of the information about, like, oh, he has a narrow urethra, but as he's gotten older, it's become more narrow. It's narrow like a 7-month-year-old or 7-month-old and stuff. And, you know, Peggy, Hank's overhearing it and he's embarrassed. And they even, like, oh, there's a over an announcement that the pilot does of like, if there's a doctor in the area, can you help the gentleman in the bathroom? And I don't know. To me, that was just a really, like, after 15 years, that was just a really weird opening. Not terrible. It's just, I would have rather them like open with them going like driving into Arlen or something. That probably would have been better, but I guess it was funny. I guess I shouldn't be such of a naysayer. Just it felt weird to me.
I mean, I agree totally with you on the opening, and I cannot remember, was this a thing though? I mean, yes, the narrow urethra is a thing, but like, I never remember Hank having a problem peeing. And I know she was like, because of the diet change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like this was very weird.
Yeah.
To just like cold open the show. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess I would consider this a cold open to it. but we don't really get the intro until later.
Yeah, this is an episode where we do not get the standard King of the Hill intro. That's how the show starts. They do make I can't remember the exact episode. It's one of the episodes where he's talking to Cotton and how Hank never enlisted in the military, but then Hank corrects Cotton and says, I tried to, but they wouldn't let me because of my narrow urethra. The military was concerned that I wouldn't be able to relieve myself in a timely manner. So that's the only reference I can think of about him having difficulty peeing.
I mean, I'll take it, but like you said, it just kind of felt like this is a weird way to start, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I get it, because they want us to get to, like, him leaving the airplane. So you got to start on the airplane.
Yep, then they do leave the airplane, and as soon as Hank gets out, he kisses the ground of DFW, and, you know, he's happy to be back in America, happy to be back in Texas, but then things start to happen, you know, it starts to happen really quick, where it's kind of the whole fish out of water thing. You know, basically, they've been living in Saudi Arabia for the past 8-ish years or so, and so, you know, times have changed in 8 years since they had been over there, and I guess they really hadn't kept in much contact with anybody or what was going on in Texas. So it's kind of a fish out of the water thing. Arlen has modernized, so, you know, one of the first things Hank notices is like, oh, there's a Bob's there. He's like, wait, no, Boba? Which some of these things I have to comment are kind of weird, because it's like, okay, Dallas has had Boba for a long time. Really, you've only noticed Boba in the DFW now? But then he also notices, like, all the fancy shops, like, you know, Hermes and all that stuff. And he's like, what? I thought this is in Amsterdam. And I guess, I don't know, he was used to DFW having more down-to-earth shops. Then they get, they get into the in-universe version of Uber called Trip, and Hank is like confused about the whole process of ordering a phone or a car with his phone without actually calling it, like using an app. He like shows his ID to the driver to verify who he is, but the driver doesn't even care and puts the cars in. The driver's name's Mohammed, and in the traditional Peggy Hill fashion, just like with her Spanish, she speaks very poor Arabic, and Mohammed's, like, confused, and he's like, oh, no, I speak Arabic. You must just be speaking a different dialect or something to that effect. And that's kind of where we figure out where Hank and Peggy have been the past few years. Peggy mentions, oh, you know, we actually just got back from Saudi Arabia. Hank's like, yeah, I was assistant manager there selling Arabian propane and Arabian propane accessories for the Aramco. Car stops, but it's a hybrid, and so it sounds like the engine died. And Hank's like, oh, I think your car died. And he's like, no, it's a hybrid. Then they stop by a taco place, and Hank's like, oh, can you let me in? And I want to get a taco, because you can't get Mexican food in Saudi Arabia. And he goes in, and, you know, he sees the bathrooms and the doors, the little gender signs, and one's like somebody with a lasso, and the other is, you know, like, even I was confused. I'm like, I have no idea what's the man or the woman, but then somebody comes in and it's like, oh, they're all gender, it doesn't matter. So yeah, stuff's happening and Hank is confused.
Okay, at this point, I love the callback to, like, Peggy can't speak any language well other than English. So I love kind of that kind of saying. I don't know. I've flown out of DFW a lot, and I've always thought it was fancy. Like, I don't know how often you've flown out of it a lot, right?
Not a lot. It's been a while, so I can't remember what DFW looks like, but it is one of the major airports in America. So
yeah, I don't know. I always thought, like, well, Arlen doesn't have an airport, right? They have a small thing, though, don't they? Okay, I thought there was, like, a little show strip.
Yeah, no, the few episodes we do see them flying, they always go to DFW.
All right, because, like, DFW's always felt fancy to me. Like, that's just, you're going to expect, like, the nice stores there. And I feel like even today, but I think it's, like, the comment on, like, today it's, like, every airport has, like, the Gucci bag store, like, the Louis Vuitton store in there. Also, who is buying those items? Like, oh, I forgot to get a Gucci bag before I hit up my trip.
Yeah. The suitcase stores are always the ones that are just weird to me. It's like, I want to meet the guy who, like, ran into the airport with, like, all of his clothes in his arms. It's like, I hope that they have they're selling suitcases there.
Oh, man. But I would love, I'm not a big coffee guy, so I don't drink a lot of coffee. But I would have loved a boba. Like, I've never seen a boba tea store in any airport I've flown into. I would love boba tea before a flight.
Not even here in San Francisco. Though I'm sure it's been a while since I've flown out of the airport in Taipei. But seeing as how proud Taiwan is of boba tea, I'm willing to bet that there's boba tea shops there. I'm sitting here thinking, I can't think of a boba tea shop here in SFO, that are in the airport here, so, yeah, even here they don't have
one there. Oh, man, that I would love boba before, like, that would be my drink that I'd bring onto the airplane. The bathroom thing, before we get to the bathroom thing, I'm rewinding back to getting off the airplane. Is it weird that Hank kisses the ground? I'm like, I feel like that's out of Hank character, but then, like, he's been gone for so long.
Yeah, I could see him, like, maybe getting on his knees and saying, oh, thank goodness I'm here, but actually kissing the ground seems a little off.
I don't know. It's these small things that I'm like, I don't know if Hank would do that. But then it's like he's been gone for so long that maybe he's that happy about it.
I think that's probably it. It's, you know, even if it's out of character, I think it's supposed to, like, signify how happy he is to be back in America. And then, yeah, as we'll see in the rest of this episode and probably the rest of the season, definitely the rest of the episode, we'll see how Hank is having a hard time adjusting to the changes in the world or the changes in Arlen.
But my last thing before we move on to the next part, sorry, is the bathroom part when, like, the guy's like, they're both all gender, and then he gets back into the cab. First of all, that God bless that Uber driver who made an unscheduled stop for Hank to pick up tacos. And how long was Hank in that restroom? I mean, judging by the airport. So God bless that guy. But when Hank gets back in the car and he asks Peggy, are we all gender? And then Peggy says, what does she say? I think I like to say I'm female presenting. And then Hank says, well, I don't want, like, he says something like, I don't want, like, a woman to come in to the restroom. And then he makes a comment to Peggy, like, that's how you get canceled. I thought that was funny that Hank is very concerned about cancel culture. And, like, he's like, I cannot get canceled, guys.
Yeah, maybe it's also, like, meta commentary about them hoping that the show doesn't get canceled. Though supposedly they're slated to at least get a season 15, and then we'll see what happens after that. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for season 14.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Moving forward, we get to see our first look at Bobby. Not a lot. We see more of him later in the episode, but we get to see his restaurant, Robata Chain. It is a fusion German-Japanese restaurant. And we meet a character who I imagine is going to be a major character or a major-minor character, Emilio, who is working in the kitchen with him. And he welcomes the customers in, and, you know, he explains the restaurant. And, you know, Bobby doesn't look too bad, honestly. At first when they mentioned that there was going to be an 8-year skip, I was like, okay, well, how are they going to make Bobby look? He doesn't look too bad, One complaint I have is it's just weird having that voice come out of a 21-year-old. Like, I wish they would have aged up his voice maybe a little.
I mean, I don't know. That didn't really bother me. I this is how it is. Now that you say it, it is weird because everyone else's voice has really changed.
Yeah.
Just because people aged. So, yeah, that is kind of weird that the decision was not to change Bobby's voice.
Yeah, because they kind of, like, they pretty much say in the show that he doesn't go through puberty throughout the show, even though he's 13. And that's why he still kind of has the kid voice or whatever. And he sounds pretty much the same. Maybe there's a slight variation in there, but he sounds pretty much the same as a 21-year-old.
Okay. Oh, man. I don't want to jump ahead, but we meet another character. One of Bobby's friends. They kind of sound the same, too, though, to me.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to see, hear how Joseph sounds.
Yeah.
Because we don't meet. So maybe they just all decided those kids would say the same.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe that's the case. Though all the adults, like, even I love, one of the first things I noticed was that Peggy sounds a bit different, and some of the other adults sound like they've aged. Dale sounds different. Now, I don't know if that's because of, you know, I need, honestly, I should have checked. I don't remember if this was probably one of the ones Johnny Hardwick recorded.
Oh, I would assume the first. I don't know if they would go in order of episodes, but I assume this would be the first they would record it, though.
Yes, I know Johnny Hardwick did manage to record a few episodes before he died, so this might be one of those. But even Boomhauer sounded a little different. Bill largely sounded the same, but we'll get into those a bit later.
Oh, but I love that Bobby speaks Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, like, Peggy's Spanish is bad, but Bobby has decent conversational Spanish.
Yes, he speaks with Spanish with Emilio, and it actually sounds proper.
Yeah. I thought that was just... Do you think that's like... Do you think Peggy taught him Spanish, and then he was like, oh, wait, this isn't good?
I mean, in the Lupe's Revenge episode, when he brings, like, the Spanish dictionary to Mexico...
Oh, yes, and he's... Yeah.
I think he kind of knows that his mom's not a good Spanish speaker.
But I just thought it was a fun little twist to, like, Bobby learned how to speak Spanish.
Yes, indeed. And I'm glad somebody in the family can. Just to show how disconnected Hank is, when the driver drops him off at the house, you know, the driver says, oh, can you give me 5 stars? And then Hank's like, I'll give you 4 stars, so that's something that you could work up to, which, PSA, yeah, don't do that. Anything less than 5 stars might as well be a 1 star, and that really hurts their business, like the Uber driver, so unless they were god-awful, please give them a decent, please give them 5 stars. But it's funny because Hank doesn't really understand that, so he gives them a 4-star, and then so the driver in return gives him a 2-star, which also, like, I get why they do it for the show, but that's not how any driving app I've ever seen works, where you can see how the driver rated you.
Oh, yeah, because he gets on his phone, like, right away, because he looks at it, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, Hank's, you know, in his mindset, he's like, oh, 5 should be rare and stuff, and Peggy, of course, being herself's like, yep, I'm a 5 and I'm rare is essentially what she says. While they were gone...
Peggy hasn't changed.
Yes, Peggy has not changed. She is still Peggy. So apparently when they were gone, the Robertson family was staying in the house, renting it, I guess. You know, extra income, whatever, for the Hills while they're gone. And they leave some instructions like, you know, we went ahead and, you know, refilled the water heater. You got 4 good years on it now and yada, yada, yada. And they're like, oh, we left pamphlets for solar panels in the back. And Hank's like, solar panels? I don't need religious propaganda in here. Hank goes outside to enjoy a nice beer. And we see the first one of the guys, Boomhauer. Boomhauer comes out and happy to see Hank. He says the name of the episode, Return, is the Return of the King, and he hugs him, and then we are introduced. I forget the name of the little boy, but there's a little boy there who's wearing a mask on his chin, and apparently that is, I don't want to say stepson, because Boomhauer doesn't seem to be married to the woman, but his girlfriend, his serious girlfriend's son. And I guess he's wearing the mask around still because he's a bit paranoid or so.
Yeah, he says, what is he, like, he's an anxious kid or something like that?
Yeah.
I love that kid, though. That kid is, first he's playing Tetris, I believe. So, I already love someone who plays Tetris. And then second, was it, like, Boomhauer says, like, say hi to my friend or something like that to the kid. And the kid's like, wait, what do you want me to do? What are you asking me to do?
Yep.
I just love the kid's like, what am I supposed to do here?
Yep, this kid has not learned how to speak Boomhauer yet.
Okay, wait, I have a question. So, did Hank let them all know he was coming back, right?
I imagine he
Brian
did.
Brian Robertson has to leave the house.
Yeah.
So Brian has to leave the house, and the house is empty when they enter. So, like, I don't know. I always thought it was weird that there was no kind of, like, welcome back for them.
Yeah. It seems like even Bill, which we hear him at this point. We don't see him till later. But even Bill, we hear him, and it sounds like he's surprised to hear that Hank's back.
Yeah. But we knew Hank was coming back because Brian had to leave the house. And we meet Brian again. Yeah.
Yeah, all signs should have pointed to Hank coming back.
I just thought that was weird. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I actually prefer it this way, not to meet everyone at one time. I think it's better meeting everyone individually. But it is kind of weird, though. Like, your friends aren't there to greet you back.
Yeah, that's true. We get a pretty funny fake out coming up soon. We have, we see Nancy and John Redcorn in, like, a nice house, and they're talking about how this will be their perfect dream house and stuff, so you're starting to think, like, oh, wow, did they hook up again, or what's going on? And it turns out they're just, like, filming a promotional video. I guess Nancy and Redcorn are now, like, co-hosting a real estate YouTube show called Selling Arlen, and so this is, like, part of the promo. Apparently the show is Dale's idea, but I like the little comment section where it's like, the guys are like, oh yeah, those two hug. Yeah, he's definitely tapping that or something like that. And then, Nancy closes the computer. So yeah, so Nancy and Peggy have reconnected now.
Okay, wait. So this is a realtor web series that they're doing?
I think so. That was the impression I got.
Okay, because at first I thought it was that, and then on my rewatch I was like, is this a show about selling Arlen? Like, come visit Arlen? Because Nancy was a newscaster.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this about... Oh, what a callback, though, if it was their realtors and, like, the realtor company Peggy worked for.
Oh, yeah, that would be funny. Didn't even think about that.
But yeah, I love the comments. Redcorn, what's it called? Redcorn tapping that. That's yep. We need shirts that say that.
We do. I love the fake out. Cause at first I thought that was real. Like, they were really talking about their dream home. And I was like, ooh, what happened? Did Dale and Nancy split up? Are they a throuple? What's going on? But then it turned like there's the fake out that, oh no, this is just like a promotional video.
Well, especially with the intro video we saw, like, last month, with them getting in the car together, it's like, oh, yep. Something's happening for sure. But no, they're just filming their own web series.
Apparently it has some popularity to it.
Oh, man, I didn't even check the view count. I bet there was a view count on there.
We'll have to do it on a rewatch then, check the view count.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess is that maybe, you know, the news business is not friendly to women. So my guess is she probably, quote unquote, aged out of it. And so she's still trying to find a way to be like on TV or be a media presence, and this is how she's doing it. That's my guess. I haven't gotten further in the season, so I can't say for sure, but that's my guess there. Well, now we're back to Bobby. Bobby's back at the restaurant, and, you know, he's actually in his element. I really like seeing this part of Bobby. You know, he's cooking. Pun intended, he is a master chef. And he's so young. He's a co-owner of the restaurant. You know, a bunch of college-age kids show up, and, you know, they want to eat, and Bobby serves them, and, oh, they're impressed by the food, and they're impressed that Bobby is so young and owns his own restaurant, and they assume that he's, like, 31 or something like that, and he's like, no, I'm younger than that. He's like, 28. It's like, no, I'm 21. And so they assume, okay, so he's around our age, so, you know, what college are you going to? And Bobby mentions that he's not going to college, and then at first it sounds like, you know, their reaction is they kind of look down on him, but I love his response. He was just super confident, like, look, why am I going to spend money in 4 years figuring out what I want to do when I already know what I want to do and I'm doing it? And I think they respected that response, and they liked him, and they hung out for a while. And you've been in the food industry, you might know if this is a true statement or not. When they're like, they're still here, it's time to close, and Emilio's like, turn the temperature down by 2 degrees and they will leave. Sure enough, like, after a few minutes, like, the girl puts on her coat and they're like, oh, I think maybe it's getting a little cold in here, maybe we should leave.
I've never experienced that in my work life in the restaurants I worked at, but I do know that is a thing, though. Just in general, like, changing the temperature slightly will, like, affect people.
I could see that being a thing. I've personally never heard of it, so I was like, I wonder if that's an actual thing. I'm gonna ask Jimmy, he'd know.
Yeah, I've heard of that, though, so I've never experienced it, but I know that thing. But they weren't were they closing? I don't know if they were closing or not, or they're trying to just get them to leave.
They were the last customers to leave, so I'm imagining they were closing, or getting close to closing.
Because the traditional closing thing is you turn on all the lights, and that usually gets people out. You know, you've been to a bar when they close, right? And then they turn on all the lights. This is the same with a restaurant. Like, when you go in a restaurant, not all the lights are on. And then when it's time to close, all the lights are on.
Oh, yeah.
So, what was I going to say, though? I loved the, like, when they asked Bobby his age. I was just like, oh, been there. Like, people were like, oh, are you this old? And you're like, I don't know, because now I work with children. So, you know, whenever children are like, how old are you? And you're like, well, how old do you think I am? I always get like 100 and something. It's either 100 something or it's like 18.
Quite a range there.
I know, there's no middle ground. My question for you is, the restaurant was Robotichain,
yeah.
Okay, who came up, like, so we know, like, do you think Bobby approached him with the idea? Or do you think, maybe we'll find out later, but what do you think? Like, did Bobby approach him and he was like, sounds good, but we're going to put my name on it?
My guess is it's the other way around. I feel like, so, I believe Ted Wasanasan owns the majority of that restaurant. Like, he owns maybe, say, 70%, and then Chain owns 20%, and Bobby owns 10% or something. Like, that is my guess. Like, Ted definitely bankrolled it, and I think they might see Bobby as, like, a workhorse. Like, supposedly, and we haven't gotten that far in the season, so if you've already gotten there, you can correct us where we're wrong. But supposedly, Bobby was actually, like, on a Top Chef-type TV show in-universe. And I don't know if he won or not, but he did well. Like, it was called King of the Grill, ironically, the name of the show in the universe. And so he that might have launched like his career, and so they wanted to milk it and open up a restaurant and have him. Remember when Top Chef was in Austin in 2011 or whatnot? I can't remember the name of the owner, but he got blacklisted like after he beat up his girlfriend or something like that. I'm sorry we're getting dark on this episode, but like remember he blew up and he had like four restaurants in town. He had like Tycoon and then he had, I forget all the other ones.
Oh, you're talking about guys. Paul Key, right?
Yes, he had the restaurant called Key and yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Okay, yeah, yeah, he definitely ruined his career and life, but okay, I'm gonna say he had the best beef tongue dumplings I've ever had in my life.
Oh, his food was good.
Those were so good. Oh, it was delicious. Yeah, oh, that's interesting, though. If Bobby was on a cooking show, that's very interesting because of what happens at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Because if he won a cooking show, okay, well, I'll come back to that when we get to the end, but that's interesting. Okay.
But yeah, supposedly he won a... I don't know if he won, but he competed and did well on the show. And so that probably helped. And it just reminded me of the whole Paul Key thing. Because I remember when he won Top Chef, then all this... Because he wasn't a solo restaurateur at that time. He was working at like Uchiko, which was like a high-end sushi restaurant in San Francisco. High-end sushi restaurant in Austin. So he was like a chef there. He was like a sous chef there or something like that. And then he competed on Top Chef and won. And then all of a sudden, like, just people were throwing money at him to open restaurants in Austin. So I feel like it's a similar situation with Bobby and the Wasana songs, you know, threw money at him. And since most of the money is coming from the Wasana songs, like, you know, the Hills probably don't have money to start a restaurant. So most of the money came from them that they probably, you know, chain required them to put his name on the restaurant. That's my theory anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder like, cause the food is very, well, I don't know that cause it's like Asian style food, but with Bobby's flair on it. So yeah, maybe they had an idea for a restaurant already and they're like, we're going to hire you and you do your twist on it. And then we'll go. Okay.
Yeah. So as the people are leaving, they mention, oh, there's an alfalfa party. And Bobby knows about it because he knows Chain Wasana-san, who is a member of Alfalfa. And then the kids or college students mention that, oh, Chain is the president of Alfalfa. I didn't know he worked here. And Bobby essentially says he doesn't, so it sounds like Chain's never in the restaurant despite being an owner, so probably effectively a silent partner. They invite him to the party, and he's like, yeah, sure. So, you know, he's about to go, but then he realizes, you know, he has to clean up. It's his restaurant, he needs to do the dishes and all that stuff. So he does that, gets to the party a bit late. Some of the people are leaving, but this lady, Amber, was sticking around, and so, you know, he tries to hang out with her and impress her, and he cooks food, shows off his cooking skills and all that jazz. And, you know, he says, you never know. As a master chef, you never know when you're going to have to cook. That's why I always carry hot sauce and a spatula with me.
I love the idea of carrying, like, a little condiment with you.
Yeah?
You never know when you're going to need some hot sauce. But I respect... This scene made me really be like, oh, Bobby is Hank's kid for sure. Because there is a part where he's like, maybe these dishes can wait for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a comical sack of dishes. And then he ends up doing them all because he's responsible.
Yes, he is. He does wind up hooking up with a girl, and while they're making out, we see the scene in one of the trailers. You know, he butt dials Peggy, and Peggy is like, yeah, oh, Bobby, oh, it sounds like he's eating something. And then she hangs up, tries to call back, goes straight to voicemail. So that was just kind of a funny little moment there. We get back to Hank being Hank. So it's one of those things where they've changed the road and they put the little barriers there and you're not able to do like U-turns or right turns anywhere except for like a designated area. So Hank's upset because he's like, oh, I had to drive five extra blocks to do a turn, and that means every time we come home from the south, we're gonna have to drive an extra mile. It's like, green my ass. And then Peggy's like, you know where this wouldn't be a problem is in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, she's clearly wanted to move back. And then we get back to Bobby, and then I'm like, I don't know. It's funny because he's like, you know, they're putting on their clothes after hooking up, and he's like, oh, I've never done it with a guy who kept the shirt on. And Bobby thought it was actually a thing, but she was like, oh no, this is just a one night type of thing. And I want to circle back real quick before we move forward. The drive 5 blocks at Upset just reminds me so much of my grandmother. They live in this small little town in Wisconsin. And I don't know, maybe a decade ago, they started putting roundabouts where the four-way intersections were. And she just constantly complains about how they put roundabouts there and they should have just kept the, you know, they should have just kept the stop signs and stuff like that. It reminded me so much of that when Hank was like complaining about the little road barriers.
Oh yeah. Not being able to make a U-turn though is the worst. Like, I'm surprised that is in Arlen though. Cause like, I mean, at least for me in Texas, it's slightly changing though a little bit, but like, we are the home of U-turns. Like, you could U-turn anywhere, basically. And that's the joy of living here.
So as Bobby is leaving the dorms, he bumps into Connie. You know, Bobby's like, oh, do you go to school here? She's like, no, I go to UT Dallas, the engineering school. And, you know, clearly, you know, Connie probably had her own night of hooking up as well, which is why she was at the dorm. But, you know, they were chatting, and Bobby talks about how he's not on social media. And, you know, and neither is Connie, and you know, they chat a little bit. Bobby invites Connie to go to a Rabada chain, and we learn that Joseph is actually Bobby's roommate, though we don't see Joseph in this episode. And yeah, it was kind of nice to see those two meet up again. It's unclear at this point how much time has passed since they've last talked, but clearly some time has passed.
Yeah, I really like it. Well, isn't Bobby on social media now? Because what is he like? I took a week off, and he's like, then I came back, and now I'm like, hashtag body positivity or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I love, oh man. I want to be Bobby's friend. Like, Bobby's so cool. Like, he seems so genuinely nice.
He does.
And I don't know. It's just, watching, because we're kind of getting towards the end of like the episode, but like, I love who Bobby's become so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bobby's become just like, I think he's kept like the spirit of who he was as a kid, and he hasn't really lost that. Like, he's still loving, like, even when she was like, oh, this is just a one night stand, he was like, well, thank you. Like, you know, he was just like, okay, cool. He was like, thanks. And then he kind of like, it didn't seem like he was too sad or anything. Like, it didn't, I think it hit him for a second, and then he, like, brushed it off. He was like, okay, well, we're moving on.
I really love
that. Like, oh, Bobby's the greatest. And, like, yeah, man, it made me sad to know, like, they drifted apart. I wish they were still at least friends if they couldn't make, like, a relationship work.
Yeah, my guess is after they all graduated high school, they kind of split ways. Because clearly Bobby, you know, wanted to focus on his food career. And I mean, she kind of kept up with it because she indicates that she's aware of the fact that Bobby is in, that Bobby owns a restaurant now. So she kept up on some way. Maybe Chain told him, I don't know, but yeah, or maybe Chain told her, but yeah, she knows somehow. But yeah, they've clearly drifted apart, but you know, they're going to rekindle something.
Yeah, so well, hopefully they hang out more. We'll see. Yeah, it doesn't look like she talks to anyone, though. She asked what Joseph was up to, so.
Yeah, well, we're going to see more of her in the season, so that's nice.
Yeah.
We go back, and it looks like this new character, Brian Robertson, is now going to be one of the guys. So now it's a 5-person group, so like, he looks like it. You know, he just got used to hanging out with the guys while he was living there, and he is now just kind of sticking around. And I am here for it. So he's the guy we thought was going to be Mohammed based on, you know, some of the early releases, but no, his name is Brian. And then we get our first look at Bill. So Bill is like, you know, saying something and you can hear from him. So Hank walks over, Bill's bedroom window is open. So Hank walks over to the window and looks in, and we clearly see, time has not been good to Bill. And this is probably my favorite moment in the whole episode, is the Bill interaction, where Bill is clearly a shut-in. He has gained a lot of weight, and he has like a giant beard, like a Gimli beard or something like that. And he is, you know, he's apparently been in the house since 2020. So he's just been a shut-in. And it's like, what have you been doing this whole time? He's like, Netflix. I finished Netflix. Did you know when you end Netflix, they do something called a wellness check? Which then Hank's like, oh, we didn't get Netflix in Saudi Arabia. All we got was Fox News and CNN, which, yeah, I'll talk a little bit about this later in the episode, but there was a lot of, like, political stuff that wasn't in the original 13 seasons that was a little weird, but hopefully it's not going to be a mainstay for the rest of the season. You know, we see, like, all these, you know, pizza boxes and stuff in the bushes, and there's flies flying around, and Bill's like, well, bring Peggy by the wall hole later. And Hank's like, wall hole? It's like, what do you out of Hausers call it? Oh, the window. So yeah, this is like my favorite part, is the Bill part.
I love, what was it, Hank's looking in the bush and he's like, this is cheese, it shouldn't be out in the sun. I don't know. There's a lot of things Hank does that I'm like, would Hank do this? So there's that where he's talking to Bill in the little wall hole, and he kind of just dumps his coffee into Bill's bushes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that weird? Like, I felt or was Hank just like, this is all garbage?
Yeah, maybe he's just like, yeah, it's all trash anyway.
But then, like, I don't know. I just feel like the old Hank, the Hank I know, would have been like, we got to do something, like, we got to clean this up now. Like, I feel like he would have been out there. Maybe Hank is still trying to adjust back. Because he's been hit with a lot of change quickly.
That's kind of my thought, is, like, he's just still, like, kind of adjusting to everything that's going on. Oh, and then we get our final guy who shows up. We see Dale. He's apparently been hiding in the trash can the whole time, just kind of observing. And then he pops out. We learn that Dale became the mayor. He ran on an anti-mask, but he wanted to ban all masks, not just, like, you know, the COVID masks, but also, like, gas masks and, like, all kinds of masks. And they're like, wait, who would vote for them? And apparently Brian voted for him because he votes for the devil, you know. So he's like, all, you know, kind of the all politicians are bad, but at least I know Dale.
Wasn't he like, Dale was following me home anyway?
Yeah. And then Boomhauer said he voted for Dale as a joke. But apparently there's 11 people running for office for the mayor, and Dale just won with 9% of the vote. So a simple plurality got it for him. Then he's like, oh, Hank's like, oh, well, can you do something about these little flimsy plastic things? It's like they want to be a barrier, but they're not a man enough to go for it. And then he's like, oh, I was only mayor for 36 hours, but then I denied the results of my own election. And then he's like, yeah, there's no, then he like mocks democracy. And he's like, any democracy that puts me into office isn't a good one.
And then the social security number. That's, I was
like, oh, yeah.
What does he say? It's like, I spent $45 I spent to get that social security number. And it's like, it was from a dead 4-year-old or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is dark. I'm glad Hank was like, someone was like, ew, when he said that. And I was like, my thoughts exactly.
Yeah, that was a weird response. But hey, what are you going to do? We get to Peggy and Hank in bed. And, you know, they're kind of talking, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to see Bobby again. I need to check his tire pressure and his brake fluid, which is an absolute Hank thing to say. You know, Peggy's just kind of flashing back to the good times in Saudi Arabia. We get a quick flashback. Peggy is at a market, and Hank's picking her up in a truck, which is one of the scenes we saw in one of the trailers. You know, she's in the full, it's a burka, I believe. Yeah. And you know, the shopkeep is like yelling at her, and I assume that either she insulted him with her bad Arabic, or like she just haggled very poorly, but like misunderstood and so underpaid him or something like that. The guy's clearly angry. She gets back into the car, takes off the robe, but Hank's like, "Oh, I like you in your modest robe," but you know, she's like, "Oh, you know, I know, but it's nice being here and not getting catcalled." And I love Hank's response, because it's like he's in disbelief that that ever happened, but then he's just like agrees. They go home and they live on. And this is actually like a real thing that exists in Saudi Arabia with Aramco. They have like these company towns almost that are like in this gated, almost like a military base, this gated area. But it's like an idealistic version of America. Even Hank's like, "Oh, this is like what it was in the 1950s or whatever." And they pull into this house and they actually have like wait staff there. And so, you know, Peggy's like, "Oh, I'd love to go back to Saudi Arabia." And Hank's like, "You know, we just, you know, or was it a mistake that we moved back?" And Hank's like, "Oh, you know, we're just jet lagged. I mean, look at the time. We are way past our bedtime." And I love how it pans over to the clock and it's like 9:30 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I would want to go back to that if I was living that life. And it's not like, I'm surprised they only got two channels. I'm surprised they didn't have satellite TV or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like they were living in, like, what are they called? Like, company towns, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what you're saying about, like, they built, but it's like everyone from the company lives there. So it was just, yeah, like a mix of people. It didn't seem like they were culturally out of place.
Yeah, so technically, like, they were in Saudi Arabia, but also not in Saudi Arabia. Like, I guess, geographically speaking, they were in Saudi Arabia, but they lived in this base, essentially, which was designed to mimic America.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder, I don't know. I can't see. We'll see as the season goes on, but I wonder if it's just like because Bobby never made it out there. And that's why they wanted to come back. Because he's so busy. Yeah.
That could be it. And I'm sure it'll pop up later in the season.
Or, you know, like when you're away from home for so long and then, like, you remember it with, like, different, like, rose-tinted glasses or whatever it's called. So, mm-hmm. like, they were like, "Oh, it was so better back in Ireland than it was here." And now that they're back, they're like, "Oh, well, was it?" I think that's what they're going through right now while they're in bed.
Yep. And then in the next day, we see that Aramco is calling Hank, and they really wanted to go back. Like, they're going to change their oil tanker to propane, and they're just, like, throwing whatever at him, which makes me feel like Hank was an amazing worker for them to be doing that. They're like, "Oh, 30% more pay, or we can give you the same house, or you can go in a bigger house with the bowling alley, and we'll give you machine guns and horses," or whatever it is you Texans like. And I like how they say, "Oh, we can give you a better wife," essentially.
He's like, "She can hear you."
Yeah, and then I like how they use, like, the euphemisms, like, "We can get you a sword," and by sword, I mean a wife.
Yeah. And then what was Peggy say, like, wait, was that this time where Peggy was like, "Maybe the new wife could do this for us"?
Oh, it's like, maybe we can give Bobby the new wife.
Oh, can we give Bobby the new wife? Yes.
And I love when Hank's just driving through the city, and it's, like, making him upset because he's like, "Oh, what is poke anyway?" You know, there's a poke restaurant. I don't know all these new restaurants. And then I like when he sees the Oklahoma-style barbecue sign, and it makes him angry that he drives over the barrier. They pull into Megalomart. And, you know, Hank's like, "I'm going to go inside and buy a spanner wrench to calm myself down," which is such a Hank Hill thing to say.
But he also is like, "I don't need it. I just need to buy it."
Yeah, just to calm himself down, needs to buy a winch for Bill. then he's like, there's Girl Scouts selling cookies out in the front, which, you know, Hank goes by and he's like, oh, let me guess, are they gluten-free? And they probably cost $50. And it's like, no, they're $5. There are gluten-free ones, and those are $6. And then he's like, what's a metaverse? Do you guys have anything to do with that? Then he sees the Caramel Delights. Or no, he
asks for Samoans.
Yeah, he asks for Samoas, and he's like, we don't have those, but we have Caramel Delights, just because it's not as offensive to Samoans, which he was all right with. But actually, fun fact, and this is a fun fact for today, so there are actually two bakeries that provide the Girl Scout cookies, and depending on what region you're in, you're going to get it from one of two bakeries. So Little Brownie Bakers and ABC Bakers. So the cookies have, even though they're the same recipe, the cookies have different names depending on what bakery they come from. So there's Samoas if it comes from Little Brownie Bakers, but it's Caramel Delights if it comes from ABC Bakers. So fun fact. If you've ever been curious,
so back here in the South in Texas, we used to get Samoas all the time, and now we don't get them. So, did they just redistrict the factories?
Maybe.
Because I was very confused when not super confused, because I do understand that they're the same cookie, but I don't know. But I did like that scene though. I liked that little interaction with the Girl Scouts. That was cute.
Yeah, and then the guy comes up and it's like, oh, you've got a Sawzall. Can I get... Yeah, I've been wanting to get one of those. Oh, are you a contractor? No. Well, you can use my contractor number to get a 20% discount. And I don't know. There's just something about that moment. And it did seem a bit forced to me, but there's something about that moment that makes Hank and Peggy decide to stay in Arlen.
Yeah. They also bought one of every cookie, too.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'll take one of each. FYI, not all Girl Scout cookies are good, everyone. They're not. Some are bangers, but then there are some that are just should not be available.
Okay, real quick. What is your favorite and what is your least favorite?
Okay, this is a hot. My favorite is Caramel Delights. I love a Caramel Delight. Okay, this is a personal thing, but I really hate chocolate and mint. My least favorite is a Thin Mint. I know it's going to trigger some people because I know that's a really popular cookie, but I do not like Thin Mints. Least favorite.
Believe it or not, I am right there with you. For some reason, mint chocolate doesn't bother me in general, but for some reason, in the Thin Mint form, it does.
And I've tried them frozen.
Yeah?
I've tried Thin Mints frozen because everyone's like, put it in the freezer, it's better. I tried it. No, it's just a frozen version of that cookie. It doesn't get any better, guys. Oh, I think one of my least favorite, though, is the shortbread.
Okay, I actually like trefoils.
I just think if I'm getting a Girl Scout cookie, I'm going extravagant, guys. And I think Caramel Delight is the most luxurious. It's the most extravagant cookie they sell.
Okay, I mean... I'll give you that like trefoils are very basic. It's just a generic shortbread cookie, but maybe I'm a very basic person, but I really enjoy trefoils.
I need to see all the cookies now. There was Oh, you know what cookie I miss? I think they got rid of it. It's the, what is it called? Toast? It's the one that tastes like French toast.
I think they still have it here in California.
Do they? Oh, wow. Next time you gotta... Give me a couple. There was also another lemon cookie. It wasn't lemonades. It was a different lemon cookie.
Before we move on, do you remember the John Mulaney bit that he did on SNL
where you can't
about
get
Girl Scout cookies?
I can order everything online, but I can't order Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, which is like weird. Like, yeah, you can buy literally anything you want, but Girl Scout cookies, you have to... But granted, you can like just go out in front of any grocery store. There's inevitably going to be Girl Scouts with a table selling cookies. But yeah, it's like, oh, I need to know somebody whose daughter is in Girl Scouts in order to get the cookies.
Oh, man. That's John Mulaney, early John Mulaney.
Yeah.
S'mores. That's also a good one that I know they got rid of that one this year. Because there were no s'mores this year.
I love s'mores. Now I'm sad.
Lemon Ups. I think that's what it's called. Lemon Ups. It was like a lemon sandwich cookie.
I vaguely remember it.
Should we do a Girl Scout cookie podcast? Remember, what was it? Was it Full Metal that I ever did every episode? I basically was like, should we do a podcast about this random thing?
Yeah.
Guys, if you want us to do a Girl Scout cookie podcast where every week we talk about a different Girl Scout cookie for an hour, you let us know. We'll do it.
Exactly. I'd be down. All right, final scene of the episode.
Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
Yep. Final scene in the episode, and I actually can relate to something Hank says here. So Hank is like he's grilling, because that is not barbecue. But he's grilling, and he's like, oh, I got the new Wagner Tar King. You do not see this in Saudi Arabia. And he's like, it has a touchscreen, presets, Wi-Fi, remote temperature. Then it pans to the cycling bin. And he's like, I got rid of all of that. He threw all those features away. He's like, I shouldn't need to check an app or whatever. And I'm like, I'm 100% on board with him on that one. I remember when I went to go buy a new refrigerator. I was at the appliance store, and there was a guy there, I overheard a conversation of somebody who was trying to buy a new stove, and the salesperson was talking about and you could turn this on with an app, and it's Wi-Fi enabled. And I'm like, why? I'm thinking to myself, why would I ever need that for a stove? Like, okay, I work in tech. I love big tech. Not everything needs to be smart. I will say that, and that's a hill I will die on. Not every device needs to be a smart device.
You could turn your stove on with the app. Did it come with a year subscription of Spotify with it as well?
Probably. Bobby shows up, and we get the scene in one of the trailers where he shows up. He has steaks with him, and Hank is like, oh, there's my son. Give me a big hand. And he looks like he's going to give a hug. Like, by the way, his arms are out, but he's like, a handshake. And Bobby and Hank shake hands, and he's like, well, now that I'm a professional, let me know when I can take over. And Hank's like, a professional comedian, if you ever think I'm going to let you take over. And then now we see Bill. He runs out of the house, knocks over the steaks, and I guess he's mobile, even though he was bedridden for presumably 5 years, but he's mobile, and he's...
He's fast, though. He's fast. Yeah, he's
definitely fatter than what we saw him when we left. And, he's happy, and we see all the guys standing around the grill drinking beer. But then I like how Brian's like, he's butt naked under that shirt, right? Because he's just wearing a long shirt. Like, I don't even think he's wearing shoes or sandals. He's just wearing a long shirt. And then this episode ends with them playing the new opening, and that's it.
Yeah, okay, this is what I was going to say in the beginning, when we're talking about Bobby winning that show. If Bobby, did really well in a cooking show, it's just a funny thing for Hank to say. Do you know what I mean? Professional comedian.
Yeah.
But I get it, though. I feel like all cooks, even when you become a cook and you've cooked in restaurants before and stuff like that, and then you go home, your parents still won't let you cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, well, you cook your thing there. This is home cooking.
Yeah, and I think Hank's probably the type of person who doesn't want other people messing with his grill.
Oh, but then so now that I'm thinking about it, which is very, I wish they did grill together. Just a throwback to, remember that the last episode, not the last extra episode, but the last aired one, where Bobby gets the little grill, the grill next thing, and they grill together.
Yep.
There was two grills. That thing had two grills.
That's true.
They could have grilled together.
That's true. The new Wagner did have two grill tops to it.
Areas, yeah. I just think there was some missed chances for some callbacks in this episode.
Yeah, because that was a sweet way the original season ended with
Oh, yeah. where he gets it delivered. Oh, when Bobby's home and he gets it delivered. That episode's so great. That's a fun episode.
Yeah. So thoughts, like what were your thoughts of this episode? Like after, you know, where we've, it's been 15 years, we're coming back, there's an 8-year time skip. How are you feeling about the season after this episode?
Okay. This episode was a roller coaster for me, and I feel like I kind of expressed it in the beginning of this, of our episode, is that I was starting off this episode, it just felt like culture joke after, like, we're gonna, like, talk about the culture. We're gonna make this joke, like, here, right, like, one after the other. It was so fast, like, the bathrooms, the Uber ride, the, like, the stops, and all that stuff was kind of just, like, all, it was like, how many of these kind of things can we fit into one episode of, like, how the world's changed from when Hank was here? When I thought this could have been a slow burn through the season, I just felt like it might have been overdone for me. Like, the jokes of back in the early 2000s, it was like this, or whenever. Before you left, it was like this, but now it's different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that was what upset me, and I don't even want to say upset, because it was still a good episode. It just, the pacing was a bit weird, and I think what it was they were just wanting to do just a massive exposition dump and, like, get it over with in the first episode so they can move forward.
Yeah, what it really felt for me is, like, this is the episode they pitched to bring the show back with, you know? And they were like, this is how many funny jokes about how things are, like... So I'm expecting it to slow down through the rest of the season. But it was just like, this is our pitch episode to, like, bring King of the Hill back. But where it really got me... So I through this whole episode, I was kind of like, I don't know. This is kind of... Is this going to be like where they are out of touch with what King of the Hill was back in the day? Because it's been so long. But it really wrapped up together with the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
When, like, it was that thing, one of the Girl Scout, or when Hank was like, that's a good change. He was talking about the name of the cookies. They're changing it, Carol, to Malaitis. He's like, well, that's a good change. And I was like, okay, cool. I feel like, oh, this is kind of all wrapping up nicely for me now. Like, it's full circle. Like, Hank's like, okay, maybe there are some good things in these changes. Like, we'll see. Maybe Hank's going to evolve a little. We'll see. But I was like, okay, I'm back with it. Hank's coming around. He's not going to be like a fish out of water. Because Hank's not supposed to be like a total fish out of water. You know what I mean? He's kind of trying to be like this, his own thing. But it never was like he was the outsider in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what I liked about it. I mean, so... I don't know, that scene was nice, but it was also kind of weird, like, okay, that moment is what convinced you to stay in Ireland?
Oh, because, like, the community all came together to eat his cookies?
Yeah.
That was weird. Like, you can use my contractor number. It was too overly friendly. Like, that was, like, before it was, like, culture shock for him, and now it's, like, over-hospitality, like, this community coming together at Megalo March.
Yeah, it just seemed weird, but I think I guess I agree with you. It would have been nice if they just kind of had the fish out of water moments like strung throughout the entire season, and maybe they will, but I think what they just wanted to do is just a massive dump of everything and get like, it's been, you know, in the real world it's been 15 years, in universe it's been 8. Let's just get it over with. Like, let's get the questions out and that everybody has and whatnot. And let's also kind of set the stage for what the rest of the season's going to be about and take it from there. So, you know, I don't know if you follow Squirrel Tactics on YouTube. If you guys don't subscribe to him, he does really in-depth reviews of, like, King of the Hill episodes and whatnot. And I watched his video where he did a review. He did a quick 7-minute video where he kind of reviewed the first episode, and you know, he does say that it gets better within the season. So, you know, stick with us and we will cover all those episodes.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it was just this, like, I know that they got better story, right? Like,
yeah,
there's so much to explore. So I'm hoping we got it all out of the way and now we can, like, get into some funny storylines.
Yep, let's do it. I hope we get some more regular King of the Hill. And I think from what I've heard, we're going to have better episodes moving forward. So, you know, there's 9 more episodes in the season. So stick with us and we will cover that. Anything else, Jimmy?
No, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited for all you who have come back to listen to us. And I'm ready to watch the rest of the season with you.
Stick with us as we review episode 2 next time. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.